think, one of the most best subject that's in the Word of God this morning. And of course, I won't ever be able to, none of us will ever be able to preach it or talk about it as we'd like to, because while we're here on this earth, we somewhat know about the love of God, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, is God's amazing love. And this is an attribute of God that He sends His love unto us. And you know, we probably in most of it, I'd say all of us' life, we didn't know about the love of God until we was born again of the Spirit of God, and then we was able to know about the love of God. But I got good news for you. God has always loved us, even before the world was ever began. Eternal. God's love is eternal love. God's love is an everlasting love. It has no beginning, has no end. And isn't that wonderful to know that God and His great love, wherein He has loved us with an everlasting love, it has no beginning, has no end. Now, our love, or what we sometimes call love, it sometimes has a beginning and sometimes has an end. And if we get, our human nature, I guess, I don't know. But let me tell you something about spiritual love. I believe that spiritual love is the agape love of God. And when we have that spiritual love in our heart, we're supposed to love one another with the kind of love that we'd be willing to give our lives for one another. Because Christ gave His life for us, those that God loved before the foundation of the world. I don't understand everything about that, but I'm glad that I can look in the Word of God and it's revealed unto us that He has always loved us. Always. Never been a time in our lives or before our lives that God hasn't loved us. And just that is so mind-boggling to me. And that, you know, we can't understand that, can we? But we know about it because if we've been born to the Spirit of God, we know and have been able to feel that great love of God come into our hearts. God performed an operation and He didn't even have to put a stitch or nothing. He put us a new heart in where we can know about the love of God. Didn't leave a scar. He performed a great operation upon those that He loved. Now, I know the Adamic world, I know that some people say, well, God loved everybody. And they take John 3:16 and say that God so loved the world. But you have to really look at that and, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, past tense, should have everlasting life. Now, do you believe in order to get life, or do you believe because you already have life? How can you believe if you don't have life? Evidently, there's something there that tells you that about the love of God in your life. There is when God gives us the Holy Spirit, then we learn about the love of God. We learn about God. We learn about God's eternal love. And over in John, the third chapter, I want to read the third chapter of John. First verse, it says, behold, what a great and bold statement that He makes here. Behold, something wonderful. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world doesn't know anything about the love of God. They don't know God. They don't know about his love. And I'm going to say something this morning. Before I was born again of the Spirit of God, I didn't know anything about the love of God. Oh, I had a head knowledge. I'd been to church all my life, and I had a head knowledge about the preaching of the Word and the old preachers who taught about the love of God. But as far as me knowing, really, truly knowing God and about His wonderful love, I didn't. I'd heard about it all of my life. And when I was 37 years old, God revealed Himself to me. And I knew who He was. I knew about the love of God. Oh, you're talking about a presentation of a mighty thing coming upon God's people. When He reveals Himself unto you and reveals His love unto you, there's no other thing in this world will ever happen to you that is better, probably, in this world, than God revealing His love unto us and letting us to know that He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and that He is God. He is love. It says God is love. Not love is God, but it says over in the next chapter, He says God is love. God is love. There's a lot of different kinds of love He talks about in the Bible. He says, love not the world. We're not to love the world. We're to love God. He is to have preeminence over all things. He has preeminence over all things. He's to have preeminence in our lives. And if we, you know, we say how much, I hear people saying, oh, how I love God. Oh, how much do you love the Lord this morning? I'll ask the question, how much do we really love God? How much is our lives set on the path to following, to take up our cross and to follow Him? The proof is in the pudding. When we take up our cross and we walk hand in hand with the Lord, hand in hand with Jesus. We sang that song, hand in hand with the Lord. Perfect love, it says, perfect love casteth out all fear. When you have the love of God in your heart, you know, I used to be scared to death to die. Now, I still don't want to die. I used to be afraid of things that's going on in the world, and I still have a fear of it, but I pray that God would take care of things, and He will. God rules and reigns over all things. God rules and reigns over the wicked. God rules and reigns over the devil. But sometimes when we're not walking hand in hand with the Lord, and we let the devil convince us about different things in the world, and let fear comes upon us, and listen, the devil can put a lot of fear in God's people's heart when we're listening to him instead of listening to the Lord. I ask you this morning, did the three Hebrew children, when they were cast, the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar would cast them into the fiery furnace, I don't see that they had any fear, because they knew that God was going to watch over them, and the king had made all kinds of threats to them. Nebuchadnezzar said, heat up the old furnace, I forget, seven times hotter than it is now. Heat it up. But you see, they didn't have any fear because they knew the Lord of lords and the King of kings was with them. You know, we walk through this old weary world today, and sometimes we have the fear that the world would bring into our hearts, or the devil would bring into our hearts, and we sometimes You hear people say, oh, I'm going about ready to have a nervous breakdown, all this stuff that's going on. But if we're truly dependent upon the Lord, and God will take away that fear, because He says, perfect love casteth out all fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Who are you trusting in? Who are you loving this morning? If we're loving God and trusting in Him and have our faith in Him, then a child of God, we're in perfect hands. And we can feel that perfect love. Sometimes we just let go, don't we? And the fiery darts of the devil, they come one right after another. God says we're to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. And there's something that will protect us from the evils that would come against us. That's why Paul writes about that in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter. He said, put on the whole armor of God. If you just got a little bit of it on, or if you, you know, as I've said so many times, there's nothing on your back. That's when you got your back and you're headed the wrong way, and the devil can get to your back. He's going to put fiery darts in. You're to face your problems and your troubles with the love of God. You're to face them because the Lord is with us. He says, I am with thee. I am with you. I'll never leave you. You know what's wrong with us? Sometimes we quench the Spirit and we want to try to go out and win battles on our own. And when you try to do that, you're going to lose every time. You can't win a battle without God. You can't win any battles without the Lord. He has the power. He has given, as it says in the Ephesian letter, He has given us the armor to put on. You know, we don't send our armies out to fight battles without giving them something to fight with, do we? And God says He's given us everything that we need to win the battles. Be strong in the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. So he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. It knew Him not. The world doesn't know God. The world doesn't know the love of God. We know the love of God. We have some feeling about the love of God. I don't believe we know the whole love of God. We'll never know that till we get to heaven in immortal glory and we can stand before the Lord and see the whole love of God and understand it more. I don't know if we'll ever understand it, how much we'll ever understand, but we'll understand it a whole lot more than we do now. God is love, John 3:16. God is love. Perfect love casteth out all fears. Keep this in your mind and in your heart when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble. Well, you know what? Old Job, he had a lot of problems in his life, but he knew about the love of God, didn't he? He was strong in the Lord. What a great man of God. What a great man of God old Job was. And you know why God chose Job to go through all this? I believe He chose him because, and He just didn't up and choose him. I believe he was chosen a long time before God pointed him out to go through this, because he was strong in the Lord and he knew that he could go through what he had to go through. Now, I admit that Job probably stopped a couple of times. We read about he wanted to question God why the Lord was sending him through all this. But you know what? If you stop and think about it, God removed the hedge from him. Yes, he had to go through a lot of things, but He didn't remove His grace and His love from him. God may remove the hedge from about of us, but He'll not take away His grace from us. And thanks be unto God that He loves us with an everlasting love. And He gives us grace to go through the hard times. He gives us, you know, there's not any time in our life that we don't need grace. We need grace for everything, I think. We need living grace in order to live. God gives us living grace. When we get ready to die, God will give us the dying grace that we need to die to go on to be with Him. Jeremiah of old, 31, Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, third verse, I believe he says, "The Lord hath appeared of me unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." That's the only way that you'll know the Lord Jesus Christ, is by God drawing you. He says that it is God that worketh both the will and the do, whereby we come unto Him, crying, Abba, Father. And I have to do that about every day. I cry, Abba, Father, because I need the Lord in my life. Every minute, every second, every hour of the day, I need the Lord in my life. I'm not perfect. I'm a long ways from being perfect. My wife will tell you that. But I need God in my life. And when I get in trouble, as Sister Lorraine said, when we get in trouble, where is the first place we run to? Where's the first place that we go? Where does a child of God go? Oh, where can I go but to the Lord? And He shows His loving kindness. Underneath are His everlasting arms, as Jeremiah says. Do you remember when you was out in the world and you didn't have the Lord in your life and you didn't know about God, and how lonesome? I look back upon that time and I say, how pitiful, how lonesome, and how... it's just hard to explain when you're out in the world and you don't know God. But when the Lord comes into your heart, and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt who's working on you. I don't believe you're ignorant. Some people say, well, you can be born again of the Spirit of God and never know it. I don't believe that. When God shows forth His love, you'll know who it is. You'll know who's talking to you. And some people say you're able to reject God's salvation, you can reject the Holy Spirit, but if you could do that, then that would make you more powerful than God. And I've never met a child of God who says, I wish the Lord had never come into my life. I've never met a child of God who says that. If you hear someone say that, I wish God had never come into my life, then there's something bad wrong. He's never known the Lord. He might have known His wrath. He might have known His wrath upon him because of the wickedness that we've done. But I've never met a child of God that's been born to the Spirit of God that says, I reject the Spirit of God. You cannot reject God. You cannot reject the Spirit of God because you are a child of God. He's not going to... You know, God knows who to send the Spirit unto. He's not going to send it unto one that's not His, but them that He loved before the foundation of the world. They receive the Spirit and they jump with joy and they're glad and they're happy in their life. You don't know how happy I was when the Lord touched me. And some people say the Lord don't knock you down. Well, I disagree. I find where He knocked the Apostle Paul down and he dealt with me very harshly, but I could feel God's love. I knew who was coming into my life. I knew who was working with me. I knew who I knew who was changing me and making me to feel His love. We know. I hate to hear anybody say, I don't know if I'm a child of God or if I've been born again. And, you know, I've heard some Christians say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Listen, I believe I know 99% of the time that I know that I'm a child of God, and I know the Lord loves me, and I know where my home will be. And anybody that would say that I don't know if God loves me and if they're a child of God, then they've let the devil come into their life if they are a child of God and try to convince them. That's what happens to us. We quench the Spirit. The devil comes in, sits down, and convinces you that you're not a child of God. If you was, you wouldn't be going through all that you're going through. Well, God says that we'll have trials and tribulations in this life. But when we know of our salvation, and when we know that the Lord is with us, and when we know of His grace in our life, that we know that God loves us. God loves us. He don't love us 1 minute and not love us the next. God's love is even. He's loved us with an everlasting love, and He loves us all He can love us, if you can say it that way. This love is a bond, a great bond between, it's a union between us and the Lord. And that's how we worship God. He says when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're to worship God in spirit and truth. We're to worship Him as the psalmist David said, we worship God with our whole heart, not half-heartedly. We come into the house of God on Sunday morning, or any time we come to the house of worship, or any time at home or any place else we're stopped to pray and to worship God, we want to worship Him and to praise Him in the Spirit of God. Be in the Spirit of God. Get in your prayer closet. Leave the world on the outside. Feel the very essence of the love of God in your life. Many, many times when I've went to my prayer closet, and I do it quite often during the day, I go to my prayer closet and I try to put everything else out of my mind. And I want to be able to feel the love of God in my life. I believe that's Paul's prayer was every day. I believe when he arose and seen the beauty of another day, his prayer was, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to be able to feel your love more. And you can't go out and dabble in the things of the world and feel the love of God like you should. God still loves you just as much as He ever did. You know, I've told this story many, many times about my earthly father. And I know he loved me. I know that my earthly father loved me with all of his heart, and my mother loved me. But I would think sometimes when he, and I said, I got 5 whippings in my whole life, and I remember every one of them. And he used to tell me, son, this is going to hurt me a lot worse than it's going to hurt you. And I couldn't understand that when he would whip me. But I'll guarantee you one thing, if the law saw him today, how he whipped me back then, he'd be put in jail. But I needed a lot more than what he gave me. But I still love my father. I used to cling to my father's leg, and I would cry. And I'd always noticed the more I'd cling to him, the easier it would get. He would let up. And so I was pretty smart about that, you know. He couldn't whip me as hard when I'd cling to him. I believe our Heavenly Father, when we cling to him and cry out to him and say, Abba, Father, I love you, He lightens up on us. He shows His mercy and His goodness to us. It's when we're being disobedient. But God still loves us. He still loves us just as much as he ever did. No matter what you do, you think, well, how could he love me? How could he love me just as much as he ever did? Well, he does. We have a merciful God. We have a great God. We feel that union with the Lord. We feel that love of God coming into our hearts. And I feel it every day of my life. I say, oh, Lord, I am not worthy of your so great a love, so great a salvation. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved because God loves me. And I'm glad that I know about the love of God, somewhat about the love of God. I want to know more. I want to know all I can know about God's love and His wonderful mercies to me. I tell you, the last, and I'm not feeling sorry for myself, but I've been through quite a bit in my life, and I think most of you folks know that. Doctors told me I wasn't going to live. I was going to die. Only had 6 or 8 months to take care of my business. Well, I started in kind of questioning God. Why me, Lord? I've been so good. Why me? Why me? Why are you going to take me, Lord? But you know what? God showed me things, and I had to get out on my knees and ask forgiveness because I knew. I know what I am. And only by the grace of God I am what I am today, as the Apostle Paul says. We're going through a big struggle now with Barbara. Sometimes it's hard to go through these things, but you go through them and you know that God loves you. Me and her, we said and we talk about the love of God. We understand. We understand about what is happening in our lives. But we know that God's grace and His love is going to see us through. And if it doesn't, we're going on to be of the Lord. So either way is good. All things work together for the good of them that love God. Wonder how Job knew that in his life. And you see at the end of all the trials that he went through, how God blessed him with more than he ever had. I believe Job had a great understanding about God and His mercies even when he was going through that. But when he got down to the end, he had a lot better understanding. And when we come to our end, we're going to have a lot better understanding about God's love and His mercies and His grace. We're in a learning process as we walk through this old weary world. We learn and learn and learn. And I want to learn more about my Lord and my God. I'm not worried. I'm not too worried about learning about things that's going on in the world. I mean, I'm concerned about it, yes, and I pray about things that's going on in the world. But I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown over it because I know God is in control. I believe that with all my heart. God is in control. We serve an almighty, powerful God. So we have God's love is wonderful and special. We have a better understanding about God's love when we go through and His grace when we go through trials and tribulations in this life. We come out on the other side and we see how God has brought us through the fire. God, He refines us as we go through life. We're refined as gold. So we understand it better. We grow more affectionate. Grow more affectionate toward God. And we know better. We know of the love of God a lot better than we did. see, I want to turn over now to chapter 8 in the book of Romans, and I just want to read some scripture there, and I've read this so many, many times. But it's good that we can go back to that and read it over and over, because it's good. You know, as we try to survey the love of God, and it's impossible to try to, as I said a while ago, to know the whole love of God. We try to survey the love of God. Paul asked in a soul-searching, soul-stirring question over in the 35th verse of the 8th chapter in the book of Romans. He says, "Who shall?" It's not that Paul didn't know, but he wasn't asking the question because he didn't know. He was asking the question because he knew. He says there's nothing or nobody that can separate us from the love of God. As we read here in the 35th verse, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on, he mentions some 17 or 18 different things here that comes upon him. It may never come, all of these things. We may suffer some of them, and we may not. But I believe Paul suffered most all these that he talked about here. That's why he says back over here in the 28th verse, "And we know all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose." Had a man asked me here not too long ago, he had lost his son. He had committed suicide, and he says, "You think that the," and he's Primitive Baptist, he says, "You mean to tell me you think that worked for the good of my," and he was talking about himself. I said, "Well, it worked for the good for him if he's a child of God." He said, "You mean to tell me you think my son wasn't a child of God?" I said, "I don't know. I'm not God. But," I said, "if he went to heaven and immortal glory, he's a lot better off there than he is here. He wasn't understanding about God." And we don't. We don't understand things that God does because his mind is so much above ours that it's pathetic to think that we can even try to figure out the mind of God. No man. If you take all the creation that God has ever man in this world, they have not. It's just a minute thing to God. You put all their thoughts together, it's minute to God, because He is God of God. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He is God. He has all power. You see, some so-called Christians. And Christian, to me, I think it says that Christians are the lovers of Christ. Some people call themselves Christians who are not Christians. That means that you are a lover of God. You are a lover of Christ. You have the love of God within you. You are Christ-like. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." You notice he says sheep? We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're God's little sheep. He says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." L-O-V-E-D, past tense. Not just beginning to love us, has loved us with an everlasting love, with an eternal love. Has loved us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody says, "Well, how far back does that go?" Well, eternal has got no beginning. Eternal has no end. And he goes on to say that, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. And I believe when Paul says I am persuaded that he had no doubt in his mind about the love of God. He had no fear. He had perfect love in the sense that he had that perfect love. He knew about the Lord. He knew that the Lord loved him. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor death. Death can't separate us from the love of God. Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That includes everything, I believe, upon this earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. It's there. And it'll stay there. And I'm glad it stays there. Even in the time of trials and tribulations and all the things that comes against us in life, God's love is still there. Oh, we might be cast down. You know, the song says, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. And we're cast down, yes. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We know God's love, and it may... You know, our minds may go blank for just a minute. The devil may take a bad thought and put it in our mind, and we may not realize that God loves us. He might convince us for a little while that God doesn't love us, but God loves us. That's the good news. What God wrote, what God put down in His Word, that's the good news. The newspapers is not good news. The news on the TV is not good news. You don't hear any good news. But this is the best news that you can have every day of your life, that God loves you. God loves you. If we just get that through our thick skulls and realize that God loves us. Oh, yes, I know. We know and we hear that over and over again. But do we really realize that God loves us? And how much He loved us. He gave His only begotten Son. How can you even announce so great a love as that is? No way that we can ever, you know, if we give up a loved one, it's terrible, isn't it? God gave His only begotten Son that we should have life and have it more abundantly. And he goes on to say he says, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That covers the whole thing. Nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. No doubt. How could a child of God have any doubt in their life? How could anyone that loves God have any doubt in their life? I know we do. We let human nature sometimes take over. We let the devil take over. We get in our human nature sometimes. Well, you know, like I said a while ago, we think we can solve problems in our life. Listen, when I've got a problem, even a small problem, I try to think to go to the Lord because I know that God can help me. God can give me the grace. If I have to go through what I have to go through, God will give me grace. He'll show His love. And the grace of God is His love that He shows unto us as we go through these things in life. Oh, I think I'll just give up. I think I'll just throw the towel in. You know, it reminds me when I was a young boy and I used to, back then everybody was kind of small and I was on the basketball team. And every time I'd try to drive to the goal, somebody would cram the ball down my throat. You've heard of that. So I went I thought, well, if they're going to do that, I've got to have another tactic to try to get to score some goals, you know. So I went home and I practiced day after day. And my dad made me a little old bitty goal about that big around basketball, just barely go through it. It wasn't near as big as the hoops in the gym. And every afternoon I was out there and I'd back off 20 foot and I was pouring them through. The next year I went out for the basketball team. And I'm not bragging, but I was one of the first ones that picked because you had to shoot from way out on the floor. And I made 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5 of the goals that I shot. Well, I had figured it out, you know, how not to get it crammed down my throat, how to win a battle, in other words. Well, the first ball game that we had, why, I don't know, I think I made 2 or 3 out on the floor, and this guy was trying to guard me, you know, and he run up beside of me. He said, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, you ain't going to do that anymore. He said, I'm going to stay on you. He said, I'm going to stay right on you as close as I can get to you. Well, when he did, I ran around him running under the goal and scored. You know, of course, there was other guys and other, but they wasn't watching me. They was trying to guard their people. So, you know, there's always a way to win battles. God didn't put us on this earth mindless. God give us a mind. He give us a mind. He give us a how to win the battles. Now, you can't do it without the Lord. He said, we have the mind of Christ, didn't he? We can win battles. We can win the game. By the grace of God, by the help of God, we can win. I think we can be happy in this life if we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow Him to the best of our ability. We can be happy. So Paul was persuaded that none of these things could thwart him from the love of God. And I'm telling you this morning, people of God, that there's nothing that is more powerful than God's love. There's nothing that is more precious than God's love. When God's love comes into your life, you know, it's just all powerful. There's nothing like it. You'll never feel anything in this life that is more powerful in your life than the love of God. You know, when Barbara told me she loved me, that was good. And I was happy that when she told me that she loved me because I'd been going with her for 12 years. And of course, I'd tell her that I loved her and she'd tell me that she loved me. But the day that she said, well, let's go get married. 12 years we went together. That was a happy day in my life. When she says, I do, that was a happy day in my life. But when God told me, when God opened my heart and let His love into my life, that was a lot happier day in my life. Oh, how we sang the song, oh, how I love Jesus. When we sang that song, let's really relate to what we're saying and really love the Lord with all of our heart. As David said, we are to love God with our whole heart. With all the power that God has given us, are to love God. I want to love Him more. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. I hope what I've said this morning will have be to the honor and glory of God and have effect upon God's people. May the Lord bless you. Someone have a song.